At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
There we go. All righty then. We will get... Where's my mouse? I can't find it. I've got three screens. I cannot find... Okay, I see it. First world problems abound. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel, Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps. I am Kyle. That is one of my cohorts, Cam Clark, who does a lot of writing on LRMonline.com, which you guys will be able to see, read some of the stories we're talking about today, and so much more, anything and everything in geek, pop culture, entertainment. You're watching us on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Subscribe to that one. Cam also hosts a football, we call it soccer, where we love freedom, football podcast over on Genreverse Sports. Watch more football. Him and a few other Brits discussing that sport. And it's really good, really fun. Check that out. If you're listening to the Genreverse Podcast Network on your favorite podcast app, give us a follow there. Leave us a review. Would help us out quite a bit. And of course, we do have merch. Link to our Redbubble is also down below. It's been a while, guys. Sorry, it's the way things are. We've had everything from sicknesses to eye infections to car trouble to just you name it. The good Lord has thrown it at us.
Been a lot of Star Wars news as well.
That too. To be fair. That too.
You know, there's probably enough just to cover, you know, several weeks worth of months.
Yeah. To be fair. And we got to talk about the Acolyte trailer on the last episode. Mm-hmm. And man, I tell you what, I still don't care. I want to. I do. I want to. I really, really do. But today we get to return to a favorite pastime of topics here on the Cantina, and that's Star Wars gaming, or the lack thereof. But we're actually getting something. You know, we've been joking about Star Wars Outlaws for a while and whether or not it would actually release this year. It's scheduled for like August 30th, if I'm not mistaken.
August 30th. Yep.
Yeah, and another trailer, the story trailer, was recently released. And, you know, you get the people that are going to be all for it no matter what. You've got the people that are going to be against it no matter what. Cam and I like to try to pride ourselves on our ability to, despite our strong feelings about all things Star Wars, to look at things as objectively as possible. And Cam, you wrote the article up for this, right? Yep. Why don't you go ahead and tell people your as best objective thoughts of Star Wars Outlaws story trailer as you can.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the story trailer was okay. The outside the Jabba the Hutt, there was a kind of reluctance to throw in some silly cameos, and kind of Jabba makes sense given the era we're in and the fact that it's the underworld. You know, it seemed interesting in terms of the characters that we meet. You know, in that underworld kind of thing seems interesting. I'm still not sure if the main character that we get to play seems interesting yet. You know, I don't know. Does that matter sometimes in a game? It's more about, it's not your lead character that's important, it's all the other characters that go around about anyway because you're playing it. But, you know, it's all just cinematics, so it looks like a reasonably okay story, but my worry would be that it looks like a darker underworld story, should I say, a criminal underworld, and then by halfway through the game she's gonna have an epiphany, decide to help out the Rebel Alliance, and it's gonna
not
be,
even that,
you know, rebels versus the Empire or something like that.
I don't even think we gotta go that far, Cam, because they tell us in the trailer that she's basically someone that does this dirty stuff to get by, this criminal stuff to get by. Not that she's a bad person or really a scoundrel or outlaw. And it's like, go rob this guy so you can buy back your freedom. And of course she's going to. I mean, look, this seems almost like they're trying to do female version of Solo, a Star Wars story, even. you know?
I mean, kinda, which might be okay if it's nothing to do with Han Solo. Because, you know, yeah, but the issues with that movie were all the attempts to explain everything about Solo. The actual,
which they're going
to
do with the Dawn of the Jedi Force stuff. Let's explain the Force away.
Trying to hijack some stuff, get away, steal some stuff for the Empire and bugger off. The basic plot of Solo is actually okay. It's the other stuff that doesn't work. But
that makes it seem unoriginal. And it's my point on that one was, again, why can't we just have a legitimate scoundrel? You know, like, that was one of the things about Han shooting first. It was an important thing to, like, play into the fact that, you know, it took a lot to change that man. You know, it took him watching, originally a couple of teenagers take on a Death Star for him to go, you know what, maybe I should reevaluate things. I'm going to take some time and reevaluate my life, you know?
I guess you've got to apply the same principles to any story. Like, it depends what happens and how much the kind of drama's played out in the story.
And this was a chance to have someone actually be a scoundrel and an outlaw versus the oppressed that's just making choices just to get by. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't feel as if there's much connections to it other than her trying to get out of the situation, which would actually be better if it's just a self-contained sort of story and it's her, like, you end the game by getting free from the bad guy or something like that that's been after you, or you destroy his network or something like that and blow up the base and you escape with loads of money. You know, that would be a decent ending, but that all remains to be seen. I think the main issue for me, though, is that cinematics are one thing and they look okay, but it's all going to be down to gameplay. That's where it comes in for. Is it going to be fun to play? Or is it going to be like really repetitive where you go to one place and you just do the same stuff that you've done everywhere else that you go? Because this is Ubisoft we're talking about, right? So it's an Ubisoft game.
Oh, yeah.
So the world will look great. It'll look like a great open world, but there won't be that much in it to do. Yeah. And a lot of the stuff will be copy and pasted from one level into another. So it'll be like, infiltrate this base using exactly the same tactics you used to infiltrate a different base earlier on and so on and so forth. That's my worry, and we haven't seen enough of that yet to be able to judge.
To be fair, I love Spider-Man. I haven't played the second one yet. I've been busy, guys. Forgive me. But I love the first Spider-Man game on PlayStation 4. So Sony's Spider-Man, whatever you want to call it.
I haven't played it, but I'd like to.
Excuse me. I loved it. I think it's great. And it has one of those where you got to take down, you know, X amount of Fisk bases, and they're all the same. You sneak in, you try to use some stealth until you can't anymore, beat up the final bad guys, complete the stage.
Even you're using Spider-Man, though. It's still,
you're using Spider-Man, and they do try to, but it can get repetitive. But so what I'm saying is, I see your fear. I absolutely do. But the idea of doing kind of, even Horizon uses similar things. You take on the outlaws and their encampments and stuff, but you gotta have enough, like you said.
But you know, The Witcher was a phenomenal game. Everything, although, you know, there's a bandits here, you know, and you have to defeat them. There's a monster here, you have to kill it. You know, it's the same, but they had enough, like, story in it, and difference enough in terms of how they set it all
and
up that it feels different.
And you can choose how to attack it, whether you want to be, you know, noisy up front or sneaky.
Destiny,
so,
is playing the same stuff again and again at very hard difficulties to get loot and stuff like that. You know, so I'm used to playing repetitive, but you can,
it's Ubisoft,
build,
and we don't have any trust in them being able to do it well.
Yeah, I just. Been there before, I guess. We'll be soft, but we'll see. I won't buy it until I see some reviews, some boots on the ground for it anyway.
Yeah, looks are a thing. looks are a thing for this. We've already had people talking about the main character and her her look, which is drastically different than the model. And that's happened with several characters. And there's been a lot of discussion of female characters in gaming in the recent months. Stella Blade over on PS5 getting people in all sorts of funny situations, like IGN France saying that a woman has never seen a real woman because they couldn't fathom a woman designing a character based off of a body scan of a real woman that looks like the character from Stella Blade. Oh yeah, Cam, if you haven't heard that one's a fun little story. So looks are a thing, and when I was looking at this game, and I'm no like pro, man. My eyes are not the world's greatest eyes or anything like that, but I've been doing gaming for a long time. And I do pixel peek a bit, and I was looking for details. I was looking, you know, where you see artifacts, how the hair looks, how things are moving. Did I notice frame rates drop? You know, all sorts of things. Like you said, it's cinematics, but they are in-game cinematics. They are in-engine, like in-game cinematics, not a FMV, like a full motion video, for the most part, what we saw. And some of it... I don't know, man. I keep getting told that I should lower my expectations for AAA games these days. That if you want this open world, you're going to have to sacrifice this and this on models, but then other games won't. Or other games will decide, hey, we will play with textures, but our models are going to look phenomenal, right? Final Fantasy VII Rebirth does that, man. I get really mad because I think they didn't balance it quite well. The texture loading can look like dog shit, and some of them, but the models will look great and the combat will look great. And I'm just like, there should have been a balance. Do you have any issues with the looks of the game, the looks of the character? Have you even seen the actual model that they use? Cause if you look at Cal Kestis over on Jedi Survivor, Jedi Fallen Order, that looks pretty much like him, but this one, not at all.
And I think that's the difference between the company that makes Jedi Survivor, is it Respawn?
Respawn EA, whatever.
And Ubisoft, for me, you know, because that's what they do. This is not a AAA game. Anybody that says this is a AAA game is having a laugh. This is a licensed game, you know. And
I think they want this to be a AAA game.
It's not. You know, when was the last time we had... I mean, you could argue the Jedi games, Jedi Fallen Order, or AAA games. I don't really think they are. I don't think they're quite at that level. Certainly the Battlefronts weren't Rogue Squadron.
I mean, those are meant to be. Those are meant
Squadrons.
To be. Squadrons wasn't.
These are just... You know, the Force Unleashed was never a AAA. The last time we got AAA Star Wars game, geez, I don't know. I don't think the actual Rogue Squadron game or the Rogue Leader game or whatever.
I wouldn't even
call
that a AAA.
Nintendo
maybe
64,
of the time,
maybe,
you know, it was, but
you know, that's
at Parker. Our purpose is simple: we want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
So to me, what you've got to ask yourself is, right, if this was just... Which hundreds of games are made of, you know, all the time. We just made up universes. If this didn't have the Star Wars license, if it was just called Outlaws and you saw this trailer and it had no connection to Star Wars whatsoever, would this look like an interesting game? Would this be getting people up and really thinking about it? And to me, they haven't shown anywhere near enough to generate that kind of interest, which an indie game that's starting out would have done, because they'd have said, well, we have to show people how fun this can look,
yeah,
to get them to buy it. I think what they're doing is they're doing the usual they do with these things and put it out. It'll be okay, it'll be mediocre, but they know that they'll get money first few weeks before the reviews start to come out because of the Star Wars license, and people will just pick it up because it's a Star Wars game. And
I'm pretty sure this was
time in that universe.
I'm pretty sure this was a damn expensive game. And I know what you're saying. If this was just called Outlaws, my thing would be like, well, why am I playing a good guy then? Like, why am I playing someone? Like, I want to see. We need more bad guys in this world because we're forgetting what good guys actually look like. And by good guys, I don't mean people.
People love playing as bad guys. Look at GTA and how popular it is. People like playing as bad guys. You know,
I love GTA 5.
It's never going to go that hard, but
I have played through the story of GTA 5 like 3 times, okay? And I actually really do enjoy it. I think GTA 5 would have made a hilarious like series. Like if they'd ever made a GTA series, I don't want to see them adapt it. I'm just saying like that story, those characters would have made a very fun series, like combining Sopranos, Breaking Bad, and comedy. It would have been a really cool experience. I'm with you. Like I can play bad guys. All three of those are bad guys
games as well, you know. But those that's a AAA game, you know, that you know, arguably, you know, because they only bring one out every 10 years, it's a quadruple A game when a GTA comes out, you know. It works, it looks good, it's fun to play, you kind of know and you trust what you're going to get with that. And I think I have the opposite with Star Wars. You know, over the years, most Star Wars games are just really just cheap cash-in licenses for me.
So, looking at, just did a quick Google search and Reddit, Hindustan Times, a lot of different YouTubers and stuff are mentioning anywhere between $70 and $130 million budget for Outlaws, which would be a AAA budget, a AAA game budget. I mean, it would. And they need to make some money. Ubisoft needs to make some money, not just off of a Star Wars game, but they need some money in general. They've really proven themselves to be assholes over
there.
You
think this will make money, though?
I want it to, relatively. I don't like to see, like, I get
people
it when people
like
are like,
spending time in open world games in a universe that they like, you know, the Harry Potter game, you know, people want to be able to go, the idea that you can get in your ship and go from one planet to another and land, it hasn't been done. That's the selling point of this game.
Starfield tried to do it.
I know.
Not for Star Wars, though. Yeah.
You know, when they
saying.
Did the gameplay trailer, that's what they sold it on. And you thought, that does look cool. Is that enough? You know, that will be enough for some people, but it wouldn't be enough for me. People say, and whether it's, you know, this is a fun game, I'm so many hours in, I'm still finding new things to do. You know, once you beat the game, you unlock this and you can play it again and it makes you super powerful. You know, these are the kind of things you're waiting to hear back from people. Or like, you know, 5 hours in, I've just attacked this base and seen the same NPC for the 50th time, I'm switching this game off. You know, that's what...
If this happens to not be good, Cam, I know the Jedi games are relatively well liked. I know that people have their issues with them, especially when they first launch. There's always bugs and stuff because for some reason they can never fix things these days. They have to get it out to you first, you know? Every game, yes, every game. That's not just a Star Wars thing. That's
no.
That's everyone, but it's been a man. You're not even that hot on the Jedi games, right? And I know Shockey was
it's a level above Force Unleashed for me, which is just spam attacks and fight people. It just bores me, you know. I need more than that.
What if this is bad? As much as they've been pushing this up, you're looking at a, you know, let's just split the difference and call this a $100 million game, you know, between the low end and the high end of some of these estimates. Let's just call it $100 million game. What if it's actually not good? Like, Think about the last time you really enjoyed a Star Wars game. What was it?
Until it goes on sale. I mean, I don't, that's what I mean. I don't. It was probably. I guess Battlefront 2, once they fixed a lot of the issues, I liked the Starfighter part of it. I didn't really like the other parts of it. And I still thought it was a bit cheap and nasty looking. So really, if I'm going back, it's probably the Rogue Squadron and Rogue Leader game, you know, for the N64 was the last time we got a really good Star Wars game.
The Rogue Squadron's on GameCube are all right. I
think GameCube, I meant N64 and GameCube, because okay, I think one of them was Rogue Leader and one of them was Rogue Squadron, I think, the kind of sequel to it. Which
there was three total, if I'm not mistaken, and two of them ended up on GameCube, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, I had them all,
but regardless,
I know and they were excellent games, but they were limited of their time. But you know, that's the kind of thing that would make me set up a fully realized, you know, with 3D backgrounds, good models, quibble the amount of ships on screen that you can get now compared to what you could get back in those days. You know, that would impress me.
They tried their hand at an arcade style space fighting game, and we got the Squadrons, which was just the cutout part of the Battlefront, boring.
It really was budget. You know, they just smashed that out. Instead, he just bringing that out as updates into the Battlefront game, which was probably what it was designed for. They just tried to make some money by shipping that separately, and it wasn't enough to. I don't think it even released on day one as full price game, so it wasn't even marketed as like a full price game to begin with. And you know, if you're going to do it right, or just don't do it at all.
Exactly, and that's what I'm kind of getting at is burning or not burning. I mean, burning bridges, but just like. Losing what little faith anyone might actually have left. Like, I don't think people realize how much all these little hits, every time something's disappointing, it makes you flinch, right? You flinch whenever something has disappointed you in a property, whether it's a comic book line, you know, Marvel, whether it's like Spider-Man, Hulk, or Batman and Superman over on DC. If one particular book versus the entire brand, or multiple books under a brand, video games, movies, I've, you know, mentioned the MCU and how today, whenever something comes out MCU, I'm like, I need someone to tell me that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Otherwise, I'm not watching it because too many times recently been burned. Dude, where's the good faith for Star Wars if this does suck?
I agree with you, but I think in some elements the video game industry hasn't treated Star Wars well, and the games have always been a bit meh, to be honest. It didn't used to hurt the brand. I don't think it hurts the brand as much as when a bad show or a bad movie comes out, which really hurts it far more than games, because games you can kind of always, 10 years later, you can just say, oh, that's not canon anymore, that game, and no one really cares. You know, I mean, it's because it was just a daft video game, you know. Will the adventures of Vess, whatever her name is, really matter to the canon in any way? Probably not. You know, hopefully that the story doesn't touch in anything. That's just its own contained story, and then you don't need to worry about it. I don't know. We'll wait and see. It'll hurt the brand. No more than the last four or five things have hurt the brand, probably, though. You know, at this point, the brand is not doing well.
No, it's not. And it shouldn't be this hard. It wasn't this hard back in the 90s. Yeah, sure, you didn't have as large of a fan base because you weren't making new movies and shows. But between the comics, the novels, the games, you sure sold a hell of a lot more toys back when there was less content being made.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you sold
kids,
so
kids
much
don't
more.
Care about Star Wars
so much more.
Or most kids, it's not really, you know, that it's not the holy franchise that it used to be. It's just that's Star Wars stuff. You're either in it or you're not in it. You know.
I never thought I'd see the day it'd be like that, man. I never thought I'd see the day Marvel would be the way that it is. So, hey.
I always thought it would happen eventually. You know,
I figured it would die off slowly. I didn't figure it would just freaking jump off of a damn cliff.
I never thought it would. They would jump off the cliff so quick after Endgame. No, I didn't think that. And hopefully they can right the ship a little bit and still keep us interested.
I would love to be entertained again. We'll see. I would love to be entertained again.
Sure about Star Wars. We'll see.
Yeah. Speaking of other Star Wars content, man, you keeping up on Bad Batch? Is that over yet? Because I ain't watching it.
No, it's not over yet. I think they're kind of, can't remember how many episodes there is in the series, so forgive me, so I don't know how far we are for the end. I kind of get the feeling we're building up to the kind of finale at the moment, as Omega's been captured again. But they actually did it quite well. And, you know, it's all coming to a head because she's the key to being able to...
There will be 15 episodes total.
Midichlorians. They don't call it midichlorians, though. They always call it M count in the show.
Because the word was stupid. You guys heard me. It was stupid.
So she seems to be the key. So it's all building up to, and I'm sure at some point they won't be successful, obviously, or else, you know, that the sequels would have not happened the way they did, and, you know, all the failed clones and everything like that. So they won't be successful. But that's what it's building up to, that she's the key to the Emperor being able to clone himself, probably. And, you know, they'll do something to stop that in the end. It's not going to end in tragedy, but, you know, I think there could be some deaths and stuff like that, and it's a show that it's better when it's darker. You know, the best character's the darkest character in it, so, you know, it's one of those kind of things. But we'll see how it pans out. It's worth watching, you know. It's half an hour, watch it when you're doing something else, keep half an eye on it. It's that kind of thing. Not that
I got anime to watch. I started thinking, I couldn't remember, other than Andor, the last things that I enjoyed in Star Wars, were like thoroughly enjoyed in Star Wars, were season two of Mando. And I know the episodes, what we jokingly call 2.5, the Mando episodes of Book of Boba Fett. As far as like the actual property or, you know, show or whatnot itself, Mando season two and Star Wars Visions. And I'm just sitting there like, man, and that's the first Visions. The second one was fine. First one, in my opinion, had more better segments in it, and not just because they were all anime studios. I just found the actual
idea.
And I mean, hey, the second one used 3 stop motion animations, and that was just like, you guys are kind of doing the same thing a little too much. Like, you should have more variety. Anyways, it's been a while. I'm wanting something good. I'm wanting someone to come up and tell me, Kyle, this is the best thing from Star Wars.
Tales of the Empire and Tales of the Jedi was okay.
I didn't care. I know. I'm not saying anything bad about it. I just don't care. I don't care for the animation. Again, this is not me crapping on it. I'm not saying it's bad because I literally don't care. I don't care for the animation. I don't care for the characters. I have no connection to any of this. I just don't care. And when you say Tales of the Empire, I'm expecting a lot more, you know, Empire. Not just characters we've already known and not stuff tangentially to the Force or what. Like, I would love to see literally like Tales of the Empire, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as if we'll spend a lot of time with Morgan Elspeth in terms of that she'll be like the Dooku, you know, or this or whatever, and Barriss Offee will be the Ahsoka, if you like, in terms of the two main characters that we follow. And, you know, Barriss Offee could be interesting depending on where she goes. There's a lot of Star Wars fans been wanting to know what happened to her because it was a bit of a mystery. But you need to have watched Clone Wars to get into that.
We could have had Tales of the Empire following some TIE fighter pilots and doing missions against the rebels, and we could have had Tales of the Empire dealing with stormtroopers. Everyone was really excited to see some like stormtrooper stuff, especially First Order troopers, which aren't, you know, clones. But you know, the sequel trilogy just pissed away any freaking worthwhile storylines on a regular basis throughout all three movies. It seemed. That's what I was kind of like hoping for, not what this was. So again, I'm not crapping on it because it's just nothing I really care about. But I would love for you to be like, Kyle, this is the greatest freaking Star Wars thing since Andor. Please watch it.
I don't think that's it will happen. No. Tales of the Jedi was okay because it went dark a little bit, and we'll see. I watch this one, but you know, it doesn't look as good. But then I didn't think Tales of the Jedi would be that good when I watched the trailers, and then I ended up liking it when I watched the show. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Some other news, I guess, we've got about upcoming stuff anyway, is the movie, its working title is being called Dawn of the Jedi from James Mangold, got a new co-writer. And Mando and Grogu got a release date.
What was the release? 2020 May 26 for Grogu and.
I'll just check because my memory's not very good.
Yeah, I'll look that up. The Dawn of the Jedi thing. I mentioned this weeks ago, maybe months ago now. I don't need the Force explained, and I really don't want them to do that. I really don't want to go to the... Because I always thought that was one of the worst things George did, was trying to explain the Force. I don't give a shit how I've got it. I got the website. You just disappeared, Cam. I don't know if you realize that. Yeah, May of 2026. May 22nd, 2026 for Mandalorian and Grogu. Are you still there, Cam? Yeah, I think you're coming back. There you go. All right, you're muted.
Yeah,
by the way.
I don't know what happened there when I went check the website. And
I got it. May 22nd, 2026 for that. But like I said, I don't need the Force explained. Like, I don't, and I know you guys countered. You're like, well, what if it's like the beginning of the Jedi Order? Even then, I don't know if that's necessarily the interesting part. You know, maybe the first battle between Jedi and Sith, you know, light and dark side, like the fracture, maybe.
Yeah,
but
I would be more interested in the fracture than the fight. Grew apart would be more interesting to me.
I don't really know if I'm... I really don't know if I need this freaking explained, and I don't know why... Some people, like, this is the type of thing you get in a essential guide. That's what I want from an essential guide. How did the Force come out? Who was the first person to? Oh, it was this dude and that guy. And can we get a better name than Sliro, too, by the way? One last jab at Outlaws. That name is stupid. God, they come up with some stupid names. Oh, and the freaking AIM helmets, like the AIM Marvel villains, Advanced Idea Mechanics, square box helmets. Oh my God, Star Wars, you used to be cool. What is up with you just trying to be awful? What were we talking about before?
The Jedi thing, you know, you don't fancy it. But, you know, it all depends on the story. They don't really have, unlike maybe if this was a fantasy novel, you'd have, like, you know, this happened, that happened, then that happened, then that happened. They haven't really done that in Star Wars. They haven't run back, not in canon anyway, and really kind of explained anything. So really they have got a blank canvas on how they need to do it. All they need to do is have it so that it's believable that 1,000 years, it's more than that, isn't it? More than 1,000 years later, we could get to that's the way the Jedi are then, you know? Which is a long, long time for things to change and for things to be passed on and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it really just depends. I mean, it could be the story of two brothers who, you know, join this fledgling new order, discover about the Force, you know, with the very first people but grow apart and end up one going down the dark road and one having to kind of...
Do you think it will... Do you think they'll just use the father, the son, and the daughter stuff? Do you think they'll just use that as a cyclic thing that goes back 25,000 years? The first Force users was this family. Like, do you think they'll go that route? Would you be excited?
No, I think that's best kept for myth and not really kind of fully understanding.
It's not myth, man.
Mortis
is a real thing in a real place. Abeloth, people are still freaking getting their jollies off on the idea of Abeloth being a thing, and I hated her in the books, let alone the hints and stuff. I'm telling you, man, they're gonna use, and that's what I'm saying. We don't need it. There are much more interesting stories out there.
I don't think that's the story James Mangold will be interested in telling. That would be if Filoni was making it, then I'd be like, okay, you know.
Well, no,
I don't think that's what James Mangold will do.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. It's either a good film or it's not. If it's not, no one cares about it. They won't make any more for that year, you know. Or not for a while anyway. If it's good and we all like it, it's potential to open it up into a brand new avenue. And we always said go really far behind or really far ahead.
Yeah.
And they have went really far behind.
But not just to explain something to me, to tell a story, not just explain something.
Well,
tell a story, don't fill in gaps.
Get a pitch that was just, we'll explain this, you know. He must have had an idea. But anyway, Bo Willimon is helping him out now in terms of co-writing it, and he's got, you know, pretty decent resume, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, some Andor episodes, including the One Way Out episode.
5. That three-episode arc was him, you know, and that was the best three-episode arc in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the best writing, you would say, was actually Luthen's monologue. As a story arc, I think it was the Makena 5. You know, there's that. He wrote House of Cards. That was a really good show until...
It wasn't.
You know, happened with Spacey and stuff like that. That's why that show went the way it did. It wasn't because of the writing. You know, but the first couple of series were actually very, very well written and very good in that. And I've seen the original from that, which was actually a British thing, you know, called House of Cards.
We've taken a few things from British TV and done better. Shameless is one of my favorite ones. I tried to watch British Shameless. That was awful. Not enough hot chicks whatsoever.
British people would definitely say that our version of Shameless was better, but I can get that. I don't like The Office, so I couldn't compare them. I actually preferred the American House of Cards to the British version, and that may be because it was so old. But anyway, I think it was well written, and he's a good writer. James Mangold, I don't know how much I like him. I wasn't that huge on Logan. I didn't really like the latest Indiana Jones film. So, I'm lukewarm on him. I'm more excited about Bo Willimon than I am him, to be perfectly honest with you. But we'll see what happens.
I did not like Logan, but I am not a fan of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and I don't know why people are. When it's like, he's not comic Wolverine, he's not cartoon Wolverine, he is just... a movie version.
I like him.
I don't know why. I just said that. God, didn't she listen?
No, I don't know why you don't like
him. I just explained he's not Wolverine in any way. He's like this original version of it for the movies, and it's not... I didn't even like the movies. Like, they...
And I didn't love the movies, but he was the best thing in the movie.
I know, but that's like saying, man, I didn't like having STDs, but gonorrhea was the best because I could get rid of it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's not the same as saying that at all. That's a bad enough.
All right, guys. Now that we're on anything and everything but Star Wars, we'll end it there. Check out these stories and more over at LRMonline.com. Usually written by Cam Clark, sometimes by Shockey, occasionally by myself. We also have other writers, and if you've ever considered being a writer or contributors, if you've ever considered writing, contributing in entertainment news, send us an email, KyleM@LRMonline.com, or Cam at LRMonline.com, right?
Yeah, that's me.
Cam@LRMonline.com. Let us know what you're interested in writing about, if it's in entertainment, if it's geeky, if it's pop culture, if it's hoity-toity stuff, if it's tabletop gaming, anime, manga, comics, doesn't matter. If you got a passion for it, we're looking for people to write about it. Genreverse YouTube channel, subscribe to it. Lots of great anime content, trailer reactions, movie reviews, podcasts for all of geek pop culture entertainment, live streams and whatnot. Genreverse Sports, like I said, Cam holding it down over there with his fellow Redcoats, talking soccer, and of course all of our podcasts on your favorite podcast app. Cam, was there anything else you wanted to throw in there?
Can't think. I think you've covered everything suitably well, so
appreciate it. All right, guys, we'll see you on the next one. May the force be with you.